Today, we will read John chapter 2. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we read your word today, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand what you're saying to us and what you would have us do, how we are to live based on what we see in your word today. Lord, teach us, guide us, and grow us in you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There, they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here! Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. All right. In today's reading, we begin with Jesus' first public miracle, and this was Jesus turning the water into wine. In this story, we see Jesus and his disciples going to a wedding with his mother and family. And at the wedding, they have a banquet, they serve food, they serve drink, and they run out of wine. And so his mother comes to him and says, "They're out of wine." Now, some people might look at this verse in verse 4, where he says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" They might look at it and say, "Oh, Jesus is being very disrespectful to his mother. He's calling her woman." Well, that's not really true. He uses this phrase, "woman," in a couple other places, and all of them are very respectful, very gentle, very kind. And so I'm not sure exactly why he chose to call her this, but it's not a term of disrespect. Now, when he says, why do you involve me? Other translations translate this differently. Some of them say, "What does this have to do with me?" Others say, "What concern is this of mine?" Others also say, "What do I have to do with thee?" Basically, what's going on here is a shift, a change where until this time, Jesus was not in his public ministry, and he was submissive as a son would be to his mother. But at this point, we're really seeing a change, and he's saying, "I am no longer doing everything that you say or ask. Instead, my allegiance and my devotion now belongs to God." He is shifting his purposes from being an obedient son into being who God has called him to be. And it's not an act of rebellion or of being disobedient. He actually does do what she asks him to do. But he's simply saying, "My purposes and vision are changing." Now, what does he do? He actually does help. Jesus is compassionate and concerned with the affairs of men, with the problems that they have. And here, the problem was that they did not have the wine. This was a problem because it showed that they were not able to offer the hospitality that they desired to. It was a shame and an embarrassment to the family that they had not prepared correctly and that they had not provided well for their guests. And so Jesus helped this family, the bride and the groom, to show honor to their guests as they would want to. And he changed the water into wine. I find it interesting that the wine that he creates is actually the best wine. And it just reminds me that what Jesus does is best. That his ways, his actions are better than ours, and they produce the best results. So many see this and then believe and want to follow him. Next, we see Jesus going up and going into the temple, and he clears and cleans the temple. As he walked in, he saw all this business taking place. They were selling animals, exchanging money. And why was all this happening? Well, it was around the Passover time, where the families would come and present a lamb to be sacrificed for their family. And the many people would come from very far away, and it was very difficult for them to bring animals with them for the sacrifice. Or sometimes maybe the animals with them wouldn't be accepted. And so people had set up inside the temple a way to where they could buy and exchange and get the sacrifices that they needed. The problem was the way that it was doing, that it was being done, the way that they were doing it, that it was not honoring to God. Maybe they were selling the animals for too high of a price. As they exchanged money, they were cheating people. It's not clear. Later on, he clears the temple again and calls them, says that it's been a den of robbers. And so here, though, he is focusing on the fact that they have turned it into a business. It's a marketplace, not a house of worship, a house of prayer. And we need to remember that there is a separation when we go to church, or even now, as we come before God, reading His Word, studying and praying. There should be a separation, a holiness, that we are honoring God. We are showing God respect and keeping our time with Him holy, keeping it reverent, keeping it worshipful, where we are giving Him honor and glory. And so Jesus clears out those who have tried to turn this into a business and sends them away. Now, many people are upset by this, and they say, "What right do you have to do this?" And he says, "Destroy the temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Even at this point, very early in his ministry, he knew what God was calling him to do. John explains what he's talking about, that he's not talking about the physical building of the temple. He's talking about his body. He knew that he was going to be beaten, crucified, but also that he would rise again. It was all part of the plan from the beginning. This was why he came, and Jesus understood that. He knew what it was for. It wasn't an accident. This was why he was here. And so he tells them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." And at the time, his disciples, his followers, don't really understand what it is that he is saying. But later, after he rises again, they suddenly remember that he had said this. And it makes sense. They're like, "That's what he was talking about. That's what he meant," when they remember this. At the end of today's reading, there's an interesting verse. "But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person." Remembering that Jesus is God, he had knowledge that normal men would not have. He knew what was in their hearts, and he did not commit himself to them. Why? Well, later on we see them trying to make him a king. He did not want to surrender to their will or what they wanted him to do. He was obedient to God's will, and what God wanted him to do, what God wanted him to be. He didn't simply follow what other people told him to do, how they told him to act, where they told him to go, what they wanted him to do. Instead, He was completely submitted to God, doing God's work and God's will. And that is what he would have us do, to surrender ourselves to God. Now, as I look back over today, and I think about how does this apply to my life? Well, first, in the story of Jesus at the wedding, Jesus was very social. He was actively involved in the lives of his community. And he used those times to demonstrate and show God's love. Second, we see Jesus clearing the temple. And this is probably what God speaks to me most, about being sure that I keep my time of worship, my time of devotion, this quiet time, that I keep this sacred and special and holy. I try not to be distracted during this time, but to focus my mind on God, on worship. Every day I try to take some time where I put aside the worries of the day, get business and work and other things outside of my mind, and spend some time simply focused on God, on worshiping Him, on being with Him, on growing in Him. And I think this is what God wants us to do, to clean out our worship area of distractions during our time of worship, to let go of all of the other things that might pull us away from God and get our attention and focus on Him and spend time with God that is undistracted. I pray that you will do that every day. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us and guide us, grow us, help us understand more about who you are. Lord, as we follow you, keep us close to you and teach us. Lord, as we spend time with you, I pray that you would just help us focus on you, let go of the distractions, and just absorb being with you and enjoy that and spend time in worship. Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.